Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, everybody on the call. Thanks for joining for the result presentation 2017 of the Lenzing Group. As said, Heiko Arnold, Thomas Obendrauf, and myself are here today. Unfortunately, Robert van der Kerkhof could not join us today, but I will cover his part from the market side. 2017, an excellent year for the group. Best financial year in history. Group revenue up almost 6% at 2.26 billion, mainly as a consequence of price and a good product mix. Earnings, very strong. EBITDA at 502 million euros, up 17.3%, and net profit at 282 million, which translates into an earnings per share of 10.47 euro. Return on capital employed, quite a bit above the target that we have set over the cycle at 18.6%, very strong year, and due to earnings, and I think the very disciplined execution of the strategy, very strong balance sheet that puts us in a great position to execute this core 10 strategy. As a consequence, a supervisory board and managing board will propose at the annual shareholder meeting a dividend in total of 5%, consisting of a base dividend of 3% and a special dividend of 2 euro a share. Now, as you're aware, Heiko Arnold joined us as a CTO in May, and as a signal of continuity and commitment to execute the strategy, my contract was also renewed until the end of 2022, and this renewal was in December. Next to the very positive financial result, we are also very pleased with the progress of the strategy execution. Again, as a reminder, we're in this transformation process. We come from a commodity orientation on viscose. We go into the direction of being a specialty fiber company, and we are pleased on our progress on the journey, even though, of course, we're not yet there. We put full focus on the pulp and the lyocell expansion, but also on the R&D and innovation side, we made very strong progress. We invested 55.4 million in R&D to fuel our sustainability-driven innovation concept. You saw it with a couple of very high-profile launches, like TensorLux and Ecovero in 2017, but also the number of patent applications has more than doubled what we have seen on average over the last 10 years in the Lenzing Group. And with that also, I think we are in the industry a clear innovation leader. Now, we already reported on the opening of the Application Innovation Center and the new sales office in Turkey, but they are all important steps in bringing us closer to the market, making sure that we innovate and communicate with the customer in the region. Now, looking at the targets, we are ahead of plan, whether it's EBITDA growth, ROCE, and net financial debt over EBITDA, with 28% CAGR on EBITDA growth versus the baseline on 2014, we're ahead of plan. Return on capital employed at 18.6 versus 10% ROCE, and a very conservative net financial debt over EBITDA. Now, we're very pleased with how we did it, but in all transparency, the market was not particularly unfavorable, if I would say so, in 16 and 17, and that clearly contributed to the achievement ahead of plan to some extent. Now, taking a step to the fiber market in 2017, not bad at all. Market grew by 3.2%, but contrary to years before, production even grew stronger than that at almost 5%. And also contrary to the years before, it was this time particularly cotton that contributed to that with production growth of more than 2 million tons. Very different than what we have seen the years before. I will come back to that in a minute. On the supply side for wood-based cellulosic fibers, we pretty much saw a flat development 16 to 17. Main reason, pressure of the Chinese authorities in curtailing capacity of highly polluting assets continued in 17. That's why we saw capacity coming into the market, going out of the market. Now, if we look then at the interfiber price competition, contrary to the years before, we saw in 17 polyester taking one step at a time, going up in total by more than 20% compared to the same period the year before, and also cotton was strong. Cotton increased by more than 10%, and we reached at the end of 2017 levels of close to 90 cents a pound, which compares very well to the below 80 cents a pound that we still had about a year before. Now, going then to the cotton market in itself, as said, cotton market, quite a promising outlook. 17, in I think we saw solid demand growth, but we saw even higher supply growth, and despite that, we saw actually prices inching up by 12.4%. So overall, I think we're very pleased where cotton stands at the moment. Due to the higher production, stocks slightly increased. Now, slightly, but we saw the major increase this time outside of the U.S., whereas in China, we saw continuing the trend as we had in the last 2 years, a stock decrease. General outlook for the next harvesting season is overall positive, even so we don't expect such a high production output as what we had in the growing season 17-18. On the viscose side, 2017 was characterized by almost two different universes. First three quarters, we had prices close to 17,000, even above 17,000, and then in Q4, we saw prices dropping. Where in the first three quarters, we saw quite tight supply due to the pressure from the Chinese Environmental Protection Bureau. We saw in Q4 some of those capacities coming back, and that paired with the typical seasonal effects that we have in the fourth quarter, we actually saw prices getting under pressure. What didn't help was at the same time that input costs went up, and particularly caustic, about which we spoke already in the previous call, we saw caustic on a spot basis going up by about 50% compared to the same period before. So the consequence of both of those trends brought some of the higher cost manufacturers, particularly in China, at the position where they're being in a cash losing situation. Dissolved wood pulp over this period, pretty stable, hovering around the 900 mark. Begin of the year 980, end of the year 980. Now, in the last 2 months, we saw dissolved wood pulp prices also coming up a bit, slightly north of 930 now, but overall pretty stable. So all in all, I think a positive market environment, and with that, I would hand over to Thomas to elucidate some of the financials.
Thank you very much, Stefan. Hello and welcome also from my side. So let me guide you through the numbers of the best financial year in history so far. And let me start with revenues. Actually, revenues increased by almost 6% from 2.1 billion to 2.26 billion euros. This is mostly the result of higher prices, but also a better product mix. On the volume side, actually, we were impacted by an unplanned shutdown at one of our viscose sites in Asia. Actually, this becomes obvious when you take a look at the quarterly revenue development, where you can see a decrease in revenues by 4%. And there will also be a spillover of this shutdown into Q1 2018. Our share of specialty fibers came in with 41.9%. It is pretty much on the same level as in 2016. However, I'm very confident that our overall target, which is reaching 50% by 2020, we will reach that. Moving on to earnings, and let me start there with EBITDA. EBITDA increased by 17%, jumping to 502 million euros. That's a new record for Lansing. EBITDA margin improved by more than 2 percentage points, reaching 22.2%. For EBIT, of course, we see the same development. We see an increase of 25%, and EBIT margin finally came in with 16.4%. Net profit actually jumped from 229 million to 282 million. That's an increase of 23%. Earnings per share increased from 8.48 euro to 10.47 euros. Now moving on to net debt. Actually, net debt at the end of 2017 is at 67 million. That's a minor increase actually compared to last year. What's the background of this increase? Actually, on the one side, we discontinued our factoring operation. This is one thing. The other thing is, of course, our CapEx program gained pace significantly. We spent around 238 million on CapEx. And of course, we paid out the dividend last year with more than 100 million. If you take a look, when you take a look at the development of our interest-bearing financial debt, then you can see that actually we have been able to reduce it significantly over the last couple of years. And one thing I would like to highlight, which is actually the retail bond, was repaid in September 2017. The retail bond amounted to 120 million. Looking at ROCE and capital employed, of course, ROCE increased significantly, now reaching 18.6%, of course, driven by the excellent operating result. With regards to the capital employed, of course, there's not too many changes there. If you just take a look at the chart, it's obvious that over the last couple of years, actually, it was always around this 1.6 billion euro mark. Moving on to equity and equity ratio, actually, also there we set new records in Lansing history. Equity now stands at 1.5 billion euros, and the adjusted equity ratio reached 61.2%. With regards to dividend, actually, as already pointed out by Stefan, we will propose at the AGM a dividend of 5 euros, which is fully in line, of course, with the dividend policy, which is up to 50% of our net income. Last but not least, a few words on cash flow development and trading working capital. Also here, gross cash flow actually set a new record with 419 million, so actually really an outstanding achievement from my perspective. If you take a look at the operating cash flow, actually at first glance, it might not look that great. However, if you do a deeper dive, actually you will see that there are two one-offs included. One actually in 2016 when we extended the payment terms of one of our major suppliers. That, of course, had a positive impact on our operating cash flow, whereas in 2017, we discontinued our factoring operations, and that, of course, had a negative implication on our operating cash flow. Nevertheless, the operating cash flow was more than enough, actually, to pay all the CapEx we did in 2017. CapEx, I already mentioned, amounted to 238 million euros. Last thing to mention is the trading working capital. Actually, if you just take a look at the balance sheet numbers, then, of course, you see an increase of more than 9%. However, that increase is basically driven or the result of the discontinuation of our factoring operations. But overall, I think we did a great job in managing our trading working capital. And with that, actually, I hand back to Stefan again for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So, we finalized a year on a very positive note. It was the best year in terms of earning in the history of the company, and I think we were quite pleased with the strategy implementation, and we have a strong balance sheet. Now, going into 2018, we have to recognize that the market environment in which we'll be operating in 2018 will be more challenging than what we had in the previous quarters. On the one hand, we see that after quite some years of limited net capacity additions, 2018, this will change. I already spoke pretty much the last three, 4 quarters about this, that we will expect in the year 2018 between 600,000 and 900,000 tons of net capacity additions. The overall announcements have been even quite a bit above that, but from our intelligence, we believe that this will be the bracket which we will see new capacity coming into the market. Now, that will put prices under pressure, and I think we will really need to wait now how the next 2-3 weeks develop. Chinese New Year is now over, you know, the market is coming back. We just have also a big trade show in China. So we will need to see how commodity prices due to the new capacity that is coming out to the market will develop. Paired with that is the pressure on the caustic side. There we have reached probably peak prices again by the end of the year. We see some developments in Asia that are giving hope, but overall a pretty, I think, difficult environment on the caustic side. And clearly the euro, all of you are quite aware about our exposures. The strong euro is also, I think, giving us some challenges. So that is the market environment which we are now operating. Now, the positive thing for me is that this is pretty much the environment as we forecasted it when we developed our strategy. We said we want to develop away from commodity viscose and go more into the specialties. And as a consequence, we will also simply stay the course. We will stay the course implementing our strategy with ensuring that this transformation further gets pace, and we will do what is necessary on the investment side, on the innovation side, on the branding side to make our business more resilient. So if you look at the execution priorities for 2018, number one will be around the whole pulp side. It will be the debottlenecking of our 35 kilotons of pulp that we will get in 2019, but also still to finalize the decision on the big step in terms of backward integration. That is something that we will expect for this year. On the specialization side, lyocell capacity from Heiligenkreuz will come on stream in Q2, and we are working diligently on the 90 kiloton project in Mobile, Alabama, as well as in preparing everything for the next expansion in Thailand. Today, we are also launching the new brand architecture. We're moving with the Lenzing corporate brand and the product brand into an era where we want to become better known at some of the at end consumer level. We want to make sure that the message and the value that our products bring to the end consumer is better understood, because we believe that on the long run, this is going to be needed to shield our business and to fuel the growth of our business. On the corporate culture side, it will particularly focus on continuous improvement that will be at center stage, because we also believe that we see further potential in terms of cost management to compensate the external headwinds. So in essence, we are not immune to the external market environment. However, we think our strategy is spot on, and we will continue to diligently and in a disciplined fashion execute this strategy. Now, if we look then at this potpourri of different factors, we have on the one side, I think, just general positive macro environment with, I think, growth projected by the IMF of 3.7%. At the same time, as many export-oriented companies in Europe, we are affected by the stronger euro, pretty much compared to all other currencies. So that's one part of this potpourri. On the other hand, the competing fibers to our fibers, actually quite positive, cotton positive, polyester positive. At the same time, we see then more capacity coming on the viscose side, the commodity viscose side. There we see significant additional volumes, and I think that will translate into price pressure. And what is not helping is that on the input side, both pulp is quite strong, now at around $930 US dollar per ton, and caustic we already spoke about. So if we put all of this together, we conclude that paired with the exchange rate, we expect that the results for 2018 will be lower than the two of the record years in the history of Lenzing, 16 and 17. All in all, I think we look with confidence and positive at the year, knowing where we are. We have the right strategy, we have the right people, we will continue to execute with great rigor, and with that, continue to transform Lenzing into a specialty-oriented company. With that, I would like to finish our presentation and open the call for questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. First question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie, Jens. Couple of questions. Firstly, on dissolving wood pulp, I mean, what we are seeing is that people are basically pulling out of capacity projects. There's, for instance, one, I guess you know, one player in China that is now decided for the third time what he's going to do is now switching from dissolving pulp to kraftliner. So there's obviously very good opportunities in other packaging and other pulp grades, given the 12th price increase in paper pulp. Maybe some people are going to switch to paper pulp. Is that, in your view, constraining the viscose capacity expansion a bit? And why are you actually still staying with the 600 to 900? Is this because you expected the ramp up to happen post Chinese New Year, because we haven't seen any price impact now for the first quarter? Is that according to your expectations? And then the second question is really about the shutdown you had. I mean, what's going on there? It's not very favorable when you're tapped out on capacity anyways, and then you have a shutdown. Is that because maybe you cut too much into the bone with the restructuring? And how is that boding for the projects you have on the horizon? I mean, do you have enough technical people to secure a planned ramp up? Thanks.
Okay. Let me cover the first two parts, and then I will hand over to Heiko to speak about the unplanned shutdown at one of our commodity viscose lines. In dissolved wood pulp, Mr. Feidenberg, your observation is correct. Of course, with the swing capacities that are out there, they do have the option to go into kraft liner, to go back into dissolved wood pulp. And at the moment, with kraft prices for paper pulp being at record high, some of those are switching over. And indeed, that will, I think, have its impact on the dissolved wood pulp market. Now, a number of the capacities that we see specifically from companies such as Satri, they have their own dissolved wood pulp in-house. They made their own conversions. So per se, I think that the market has sufficient dissolved wood pulp. So I don't see this being the constraint that they cannot produce. However, what I do expect is that the input costs for dissolved wood pulp have more pressure to go up rather than to go down from a direction. Now, we need to see how long the kraft pulp paper side will remain as high. If you just go back 18 months ago, there was a very different outlook on paper pulp. But I think given also some of the developments in China with an import stop for waste paper and so on, this plays itself through. So structurally, I think dissolved wood pulp remains a key asset, and everything I think that you sort of indicated, I would also surprise. Underline. Coming back to the prices, is this a surprise to us where we are? Why do we still speak about 600,000 to 900,000? As I said, we do our own market research. We believe we know some of those players, and we also have our own views of which capacities will come out. Now, that is, and we remain there consistent, and what we have seen now over the last months is pretty much also, I think, supporting more RT rather than that we will see, you know, well above a million, which, you know, some of the announcements have been. So as such, I think our estimate, we feel comfortable with this estimate. We also think that it is too early to judge now at this moment in time what prices will do. I think in 2-3 weeks from now, we will be more intelligent, also because some of the new capacity will only ramp up now in March. So I think there we will see some of the effects playing through. I think the big question out there is, together with the input costs as we have them, how much further will prices fall? Because, as I mentioned in my introduction, the current conditions for some of the higher cost players are not particularly favorable. Now, Heiko, a couple of words on the technical side.
Yeah, first addressing the unplanned shutdown, which actually was a planned shutdown where we had an inspection and then found out that we needed a repair on a capital spare part, which was not available on short notice, and you would not keep stock of high-value capital spares. And then you run out of a base chemical and you go in a slow mode in order to continue the operation on a lower capacity. That's, to a certain extent, standard, and I would say it is, at a certain low frequency, unavoidable. It has been seen in the industry all over. Your second question, whether we have enough technical people, definitely yes, we do have. We do cooperations with international EPC companies to make sure that we execute our large capital projects with the necessary diligence. We are going through that now in the United States, and we use a simple, similar approach for our future projects elsewhere.
Okay, just a couple of follow-ups. That's very helpful. So firstly, it's really the Q2 in terms of the acid test for pricing, right? I mean, we're basically going to see the majority of the price impact happening in the next couple of months. Is that correct?
I think on the commodity viscose side, I would say indeed, as every year, let's wait 2, 3, 4 weeks after Chinese New Year, then we will see the dust a bit settling. This year it's aggravated by new capacity coming in. So yes, I think we need to see how it develops. However, I believe that at the same time we need to wait what capacity comes out with some of the new the rates as we see it in some parts of China. It's at time very volatile, who is still up and running and who isn't. So I think the key message is on the commodity viscose side, it's a little bit volatile at the moment. We don't expect prices to shoot up. If we look at the profitability for some of the players, we also say it's not a great business at the moment either for many of them. So, yeah, let's see.
And blacking out this basically cost floor for a moment, could you maybe share some color on what the capacity additions in the fourth quarter were that led to the pricing decrease from 17,000 to maybe 14,000, 15,000?
It was not so much the capacity additions. We saw some of the capacity coming back on stream that was taken temporarily out. But we always have in Q4, in the run-up to Chinese New Year, we have a demand low. And I think together with that and some, I think, pre-marketing for new capacity that came on, it was an environment where just, I think it was more of a buyer's market.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrich with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I would like to jump into the pulp area where you said it's at the moment your key strategic priority or priority number one. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit, as you said, that kraft prices are going up over the last couple of months significantly, how this impacts the evaluation of your potential integration plans in PARP, because if I recall, you said that you plan to give us a decision until the end of Q1 18. So now it seems like, okay, you are still in the process of evaluating, so maybe some thoughts about the vertical integration in PARP would be appreciated. And then secondly, maybe now more longer term, if you look at what's going on in the commodity viscose industry and with Sattery, as you pointed out, being heavily vertically integrated in PARP and let's say having definitely a lower cost position compared to others, and also looking at Songtai, a new player coming from the chemical space who has a good position in caustic soda. How would you see the commodity viscose industry developing on a 5 to 10 years view? Do you think there will be significant consolidation taking place, that there will be larger players that have, let's say, better cost positions, and what could that do to prices in viscose? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Trubrich, starting with dissolved wood pulp, per se, I think the situation as we have it at the moment in kraft is indeed a bit unexpected. When we looked at the same market as an industry still 18 months ago, it looked like there will be heavy overcapacity on kraft pulp in the market, but then there were quite some issues with the startup of some assets, slowdown of assets, environmental concerns with some assets, and suddenly we find ourselves together with quite some strong pull from the corrugated paper side, as well as on the tissue side, but even specialty paper coming a bit stronger back, we see indeed the environment for kraft pulp to be more favorable. For us, it only underpins the importance of being backward integrated, because some of those developments clearly are not helpful. The project that we have in mind per se is very limited impacted by these developments. I think we looked at the industry fundamentals. We know that this step is a value-adding step for us as a group. It's accretive. And per se, I think it is for us the right step to do. How we exactly going to execute it, you're right, I said in the previous call, it will be Q1 2018. However, this is such an important decision for the group that we will communicate when we have every dot and detail to the point that we can communicate and want to communicate. But it remains a strategic imperative and priority for us as a group, and we work very hard on it. In terms of
sorry to interrupt you, sir. One follow-up here. And the special dividend you announced, is this allowing, let's say, a cross read where you say, okay, you might go in pipe for a more asset light version to increase your vertical integration? That's why you say, okay, we can pay out more, or is this not related to each other?
I will hand this over to our CFO.
Mr. Trubrich, actually on our dividend policy, actually, as we always communicated, we pay out up to 50% of our net income. And actually with €5, we are fully in line with what we communicated so far. So there's actually no linkage now between the dividend for 2017 and the dissolving wood pulp question.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Going to the second question, long-term outlook for viscose. I personally think that wood-based cellulosic fundamentals are very healthy. I think that holds true for viscose, even more so, of course, for the specialties. Yes, I would expect that over time we will see less and bigger players in the market. I think in part also to afford the increasing pressure on the environmental performance. So indeed, that's something I would foresee. At the same time, if you look at the innovation speed in the commodity viscose side, I would say it is limited. Now, our strategy is very clear. We're investing on the specialty side. We are increasingly working on how to convert the one or the other viscose line that produces commodity into specialty viscose. Ecovero, I think, was a very good example of that, and I think this is our direction, and I think that we are much better shielded.
Okay, and would you consider swapping some of your viscose lines into Modar? Is this on the plate, or is it simply going from standard viscose to Ecovero?
No, I think converting viscose lines into specialty viscose is one direction. Can, as you know, technically convert viscose line into modal lines. It is an option, not for every line it is an option, but it is also an option that we're investigating.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Wade Napier with Avior Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the call, gentlemen. We really appreciate it. Can you give us a sense of underlying demand growth that the market saw for viscose this past year? I mean, I know it's difficult given sort of shutdowns in the Chinese capacity, but can you just give us a flavor of actual underlying demand growth last year and what you expect to see this year? And then secondly, obviously a massive part of the strategy is to go into specialty sort of fibers, and there is large focus on innovation. Do you see your sort of Chinese competitors and competitors in Southeast Asia catching up on the innovation front, or do you see yourself extending your advantage going forward? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I think in terms of underlying demand growth, we have seen between 5% and 6% viscose demand growth over the last years. We also saw it last year, even so it was in part difficult in the first quarters to get your hands on the viscose, but overall we saw very healthy demand growth. Going forward, we actually think that we might even see slightly higher growth, so more in the 6%, maybe even slightly above 6% that we could see for viscose, where for the specialty side, this will be clear double-digit growth rate. In terms of the specialties, We are positive that our innovation efforts on new product innovations, new SKUs, new specialties of a Tencel or of a Modal, we will continue to rather extend our lead rather than lose it. On the technology front, I think over time our competition will catch up. So where it has taken them now 10 years plus to build the first lines, I think it is logical that over time we will see also in Lyocell more competition. Now, our answer is, on the one hand, continue to innovate, proliferate your SKUs, address specific segments, make the market, and using an increased focus on educating the end consumer in creating the respective pulls. So establish the Tencel brand for all textiles stronger in the consciousness of the buyer when he takes his purchasing decision.
Thanks very much.
Next question comes from the line of Laura Lopez Pineda with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So I have two questions. First of all, can you maybe give us a CapEx guidance for 2018, which I believe might already include the initial CapEx spendings for the Thailand Tencel plant? Secondly, on caustic soda, can you give us an indication on the nature of your caustic soda contracts? So do you source it quarterly or on monthly contracts? And last but not least, so in the fourth quarter, you had very good EBITDA margins despite the viscose commodity prices were significantly lower year over year. So this also highlights that your strong position in specialties. Do you still continue to be positive to decouple prices from your specialties, from your viscose commodity market also in 18, and keep margins at high levels? Thank you.
Okay, I will ask our CFO to take the first two questions. I will take then the pricing question.
On the CapEx, I would say we expect a number around the 300 million euro mark, roughly, plus or minus. Of course, as you all know, we are doing a couple of projects, so it will highly depend on the progress we are making. But it will definitely be above the 2017 level, and as I said, I would expect it reaching roughly 300 million. Second question was on the caustic contracts. Actually, caustic, as you, I assume you are well, very well familiar with the caustic market. Caustic is a very local market, and actually, if we just take a look at where we need caustic, so we need caustic, of course, for the production of viscose, but also for Modal. So actually, we need viscose in China, in Indonesia, and in Europe. So we have three different markets, and actually, we deal with those markets differently. So, for example, in China, actually, we more or less buy in the spot market, because this is actually how you deal with it in the spot in China. So you hardly get any long-term contracts. Whereas in Indonesia, we usually have quarterly contracts. And only in Austria we do have contracts that are at least for a year or even exceeding 1 year.
Good. Then on the specialty front, indeed, we continue to be positive on our ability to price on the specialties. We have, over the last pretty much 2 years, kept each quarter the specialty prices stable or increased them. Even when viscose prices were falling, the same we did in Q4, the same we are doing in Q1. Personally, I think that the proof of the pudding will be looking back, and maybe around Q3, looking back, because it is the one thing is to show that you're uncoupled for a quarter or 4 or 5 months. It's different if you have shown that you have uncoupled it over a year at times of abundant also viscose quantities. We are very positive. All the indicators that we currently see are positive, but I think the proof, as I said, we will deliver when we look back, then probably after Q3.
Thanks, very helpful. And maybe just a short one, can you maybe quantify the impact in volumes or in EBITDA that the shutdown had in the fourth quarter, and what would it be in the first quarter?
I mean, actually, I think you can easily do the math yourself. We lost out a couple of kilotons at one of our Visco sites, so I think that's all I would like to say, and we will see pretty much the same effect in Q1.
Thanks a lot.
Next question comes from line of Sebastian Bray with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I'd have two sets, please, one on CapEx and one on working capital development. I see that there's, a 9 to 10 kiloton debottleneck of Modal planned for 2018. Is this something new, does it fall into the existing €300 million CapEx for 2018? I assume it does. In terms of CapEx, are there likely to be any announcements, number one, on any facility for Tencel Lux in 2018, and number two, obviously, the pulp facility? And what would you be comfortable with as an underlying level potentially beyond 2018? Are you likely to spend about €400 million or so from 2019 onwards? And secondly, on working capital, what kind of performance would you be expecting next year, and in particular in relation to your inventories? And by next year, I mean 2018. Thank you.
Okay. In terms of the Modal, just to clarify, we spoke in the past very often about the expansion of specialty fibers. So as such, the Modal expansion was always part of that, and that was not in addition. And just to correct, this is an 8-kiloton Modal expansion. With respect to Tencel Lux and dissolved wood pulp, we are working, as announced last year, on the asset plan for Tencel Lux. Indeed, it is our plan to come up or to have the team report to us in the course of this year. So indeed, we plan to make a decision. When exactly we will execute, I think that is then something that we will announce at this moment in time. And on the dissolved wood pulp side, I would still ask, as I mentioned before, Mr. Bray, to give us a bit. I think we will make a decision this year, but we want to finalize it. As a consequence, I don't want to start to speculate. It's what it exactly will look like. But this is something that we just need to get right. Working capital, Thomas?
Yeah, on the working capital, I would expect working capital to remain roughly on the level that we see currently. Anyway, we disclosed it in this presentation. We discontinued the factoring operations simply because we don't need this additional liquidity. However, we still kept the factoring program legally alive, so whenever we would need it, we could still start it at any time, of course.
Thank you. And so, just as a follow-up on capacities, are you, as it stands, yet able to quantify the kilotonnage or kilotonnage range of viscose capacity likely to enter the market in 2019, or is it too early?
It's too early yet, because we need to see what amount of shift we will have from 18 into 19.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, please press star followed by one to ask a question. The next question is a follow-up question from Stefan Trubrich from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's Stefan Trubrich again. I have a follow-up question on the decoupling of pricing for specialities. As you said, that it will be important to see how viscose prices develop. But initially in your presentation, you also showed that polyester prices and cotton prices went up. So wouldn't it not be more the case that cotton and polyester are more the proxies for the pricing of your specialities, i.e. meaning if they are higher, it supports the pricing of Tencel, as Tencel is very often blended with those fibers? And the second question would be more a housekeeping question for the CFO. Looking at Q4, particularly at below the line items, there was a positive number in the financial financial result, and also the tax rate was rather low with 15.8%. What has been the reason for that? That also on cash flow wise, there was a positive inflow from taxes in the fourth quarter, and what would be the full year guidance for the tax rate going forward? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Dobic, starting with the first one, you are correct. I think Viscose is one reference. Maybe on the modal side, it's a bit more of an important reference than for Lyocell. Lyocell, indeed, I think polyester and cotton plays a more important role. And in itself, I think what I tried to say is we are not pricing as we did still in 13 and 14, beginning 15. We don't price neither the Lyocell nor the Modal on a Viscose Plus basis. We price them in their own right. And that's what we continue to do. And indeed, those interfiber price competition remains for us important. We are adjusting those prices. But we also don't start now to make it a cotton plus or polyester plus business. We have tried to understand what is the value that we bring. We're not ignorant to those developments, but the developments that we are currently seeing rather help us than hurt us, obviously, to our specialty prices. So I think, as you can probably hear, I'm not too pessimistic on that front. Now, on the housekeeping side, Thomas, maybe your call?
Yeah, two comments actually from my side. The first one is actually, as you might remember, in 2016, we sold some of our shares that we owned in a plant, in a viscose plant in Germany. In 2017, actually, what took place is that the sales price was adjusted slightly, and that actually the result of that you can now see in Q4 reflected in the profit and loss statement. So that's number one. On the tax is actually, why is the tax rate in Q4 so low? Let me go back one step. You are all aware of the corporate income tax changes in the U.S. And there have been quite a lot of announcements from, let's say, German DAX companies making huge adjustments. However, in our case, actually, it was a positive adjustment we made. Simply because we don't have any deferred tax assets in the U.S. So we have no tax loss carry forwards that now would have had a negative impact on our profit and loss statement. So, however, now the new corporate income tax rate in the U.S. is fully reflected. And going forward, I would say you should expect a tax rate which is pretty much in line with what we saw in 17.
Okay. This was how much exactly, the tax rate in 17?
Was slightly above 20%.
Okay. I mean, this is a lot lower than we had, because usually the guidance was 26. Now we're going to 21, 22.
If you just take a look at where Lansing is located, in most of the countries, you have either 25% or even less. And now the U.S., I mean, actually the U.S. was one of those countries where corporate income tax rate was above the 25% mark. However, now it is also below. So we will rather be below the 25% mark. However, even more than going forward, once our brownfield plant in the U.S. is then up and running and then can fully benefit from the lower income tax rate in the United States.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Vladimira Urbankova with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Maybe I will elaborate a bit on this tax issue because it was my original question, which was partially answered now. My question would be, what is the impact of the U.S. tax reform on your results, especially going forward once your new facility in the U.S. will be completed, where the tax rate will go? And then the question would be also, what are the currency headwinds expected in 2018, if you can maybe a bit quantify on them, especially the relatively weak US dollar impact. And last but not least, your investment in Thailand, if you have maybe some more details to share about the whole project, about the planned CapEx and some timeline in it. Thank you.
I mean, maybe on let me start on the first question. Actually, on the tax rate, actually, as I pointed out when Mr. Trubrich raised his question, actually, we have fully reflected now the impact of the corporate income tax reform in the United States. In Q4, actually, there was a positive effect of slightly more than 4 million that you can find in the profit and loss statement of Q4. Going forward, I mean, of course, we will benefit from the lower income tax rate. However, this does not have any impact now on our decisions, because the decision to build a brownfield site in the U.S. was not subject to any tax reform or whatsoever. So, but of course, we will benefit from that once the plant is up and running.
Maybe on the investment side, Heiko, a couple of words from your side.
I mean, the timing for the investment should not have been later, because we will see, with the reduction of corporate income tax, more foreign investment in the U.S., but we are on track. And for T3, we will decide within this year, finally, on the investment project. In the meantime, we are preparing the engineering and setting up the initial team you need in order to set up an investment project of that size.
So you don't have any estimate how much it will cost and how this CapEx will be split between years?
You first need to determine the scope, and you first need to determine the scope, and that's what the team is currently doing. And then we talk about the cost, but as an order of magnitude, it will not be significantly different from the brownfield investment in Mobile.
Okay. And then the last one, the Forex headwinds, how much you expect in 2018, maybe possibly 2017, what would be constant currency rate growth?
Sorry for missing on the your FX question. Actually, with regard to foreign exchange, no changes on our side. As we have always communicated, the hedging strategy we follow is that we hedge one-third of our net exposure on a rolling 12-month basis. We hedge the second third at the time when the budget is finalized, and the remaining third, that remains open. And with regards to our net exposures, actually, we do have net exposures that are worthwhile mentioning. One is versus the US dollar, and the other one is versus the RMB, of course. However, also those amounts have not changed significantly over the last 1, 2, or 3 years. So actually, we expect basically the same net exposure roughly the same net exposure in 18 compared to 17 or even 16.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Sebastian Bray with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to pass back to Stefan Dubowski for closing comments.
Thank you very much, all of you attending. Maybe one final note that I would like to make going forward. It will be Thomas Obendorf and myself who will host those calls, so we will not continue to be all the four of us present to increase efficiency. So as of the Q1 call, it will be Thomas and myself. You will still see on the various roadshow, of course, also Robert explaining then on the market from time to time, but in principle, this is the way we're going to go forward. 2017 was an excellent year for us. 2018, we see on the commodity side some more headwinds, but overall, I think with the strategy that we have chosen, we feel we have the right strategy to address this, and we will continue with the disciplined implementation. We're looking forward to be in touch with you and again at the update for the Q1. Thank you very much, everybody.